because it's Monday, because it's crunch time, because it's the final segment, we're going to wrap with this. It's the Riddler.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Sounds kind of good, doesn't it?
Other people want it. It must be good.
So it's bad.
How bad?
Oh my God, that's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
Hi, everybody. Hello, Dr. Nick.
Welcome to the Richter Scale. It's where we wrap up the weekend that was and we rate how big an impact those things had on the world of sports. For the first time ever, the Oregon women are on their way to the Final Four. They take on either Baylor or Iowa in Tampa on Friday. And Nelly, the Ducks were on fire on Sunday. My take is Orla hits the dagger. Sabrina the Goat Ionescu had 31. Aaron Boley with the two biggest free throws of the game late. And the Ducks are off to the Final Four. How big of an accomplishment is this for Oregon?
It's, up until right now, the ultimate. I mean, there's still one more box to check, but you can't win the final without winning the regional, so it's a 10.
In the men's bracket, the Oregon men fell victim to Virginia on Thursday. Uva goes from scapegoat to goat by making the Final Four with their defense. Texas Tech took down Gonzaga. Auburn comes out of nowhere to make the Final Four. And Michigan State with their angry Tom Izzo took down the Duke Zions. Lots of teams that play a lot of defense in the Final Four. A couple of coaches that sweat a whole lot during the game as well, and not a lot of superstars. How do you rate this crop of Final Four teams?
Man, I'll tell you, Auburn was discounted, especially when their big fella, Okike, got hurt. But they won the SEC tournament. Virginia is a great story because they suffered the ultimate defeat last year and bounced back to make it this far. Michigan State is a regular. And who'd I like? Oh, Texas Tech defensively is... man, if they end up playing Virginia, the final score is going to be 3-2.
Oh, boy, but, thrilling.
I like it. I am really intrigued and happy it didn't go chalk with a 3 and a 5. So I'm giving it a 9.
All right. Kentucky once again in the Elite Eight with Coach John Calipari. And once again, the Wildcats fall short in 13 and 14. Kentucky went to back-to-back Final Fours. Now Coach Cal seems more hampered by holding up his framed jerseys of his players that made the NBA while on the sideline. I mean, UK won nothing this year, and still... Cal has been reportedly given a lifetime contract to stay at Kentucky after UCLA made an offer to Cal to fill their coaching vacancy. So how hot is Coach Cal's hot seat?
By the way, he's got 9 top 35 recruits. Oh. 9!
Is that good?
He's not on any kind of a hot seat. You know, I was listening to on the way home yesterday, and they were talking about how Duke let people down, and Kentucky lost, and you know the other one seeds like Gonzaga, and it's like they do realize that four teams could not have won the national title this year. There's one per year, so no, made the Elite Eight. I know they're a blue blood. I know there are expectations. They ain't going anywhere. They're going to be right back in the same spot with a chance to win it all. His seat on a scale of 1 to 10 is a 1.
The Mariners moving to baseball started 3-0 on the season. They even lit up Chris Sale in his first start, but then Hunter Strickland happened. The Mariners' hopes of 1-62-0 ended. Strickland went on the DL after his third of an inning appearance on Friday night because he's Hunter Strickland, the Swiss cheese of people. It's very fitting that the M's give up this year, and then they take 5 of 6 against 2 playoff teams from last year to start the season. How big of a fluke is this to start for the Mariners?
You really never know, but 6 games into a baseball season means you still have a 156-game losing streak in you. So it's really tough to jump to any kind of conclusions. But since I don't expect them to be any better than a 78-80 win team, I'm going to say fluke-wise, them winning 5 of 6 is about a 6.
The Dodgers, speaking of good teams, are good at baseball. They hit 8 home runs on opening day. 2 players had a pair of homers. They scored 12 against the Diamondbacks, and they did all of this without Clayton Kershaw or Rich Hill on the mound. The Rockies split their 4-game series with the Marlins. Cleveland's other NL West contender, the Padres, a dark horse contender, looking like they're going to be pretty good with their shiny new Manny Machado, but they beat the Giants, who are awful, and they scored 5 runs in 3 games, including a loss on Sunday where they had 3 errors, 2 hits, 1 run. It's very fun. How is the NL West looking after 1 weekend?
Yeah, the Giants. This could be really grim.
Big oof. Big oof coming.
And bleak. I'm not sold on San Diego. I know Machado's a great addition, and they've got some young talent. I still think it comes down to L.A., Colorado, and Arizona. But 1 weekend in, I think it's going to be overall a fun division. And the fact that it's in the West means we'll get to follow it pretty closely. So I'll give it a 7.
Panic in the Bronx. The Yankees lose 2 of 3 to the Orioles. There are plans to tear down and rebuild Yankee Stadium for the 4th time, and they're underway. Stanton's on the DL. Someone pulled a plug on the back of Aaron Judge's leg, and it deflated him, revealing that he's actually been the size of Tim Kurkjian this whole time.
Whoa.
How panicked should the Yankees be?
Well,
how panicked are you,
they,
Steve?
They double DL'd the last 2 days, right, with Stanton and Andujar? Yeah, I'm not going to hit the panic button on it's literally April 1st. I know they won and two'd against,
the Orioles, Steve. You're trying to compete with the Red Sox, and you're losing early to the Orioles?
Yes.
Ugh.
It's not encouraging.
Tear it down.
But on a scale of a 1 to 10, what's my concern level? 2. All right, that's a wrap.